verse 30 to 46. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. This is the word of God. I'm on call. That's why I'm lugging this around.
I do know how to answer a phone, but that's about it. Last Sunday, when I arrived home from church, I turned on the TV to catch the news. Billionaire Richard Branson had just lifted off from New Mexico, heading off to space. The crew aboard the spaceship blasted off at speeds over 2,300 miles per hour to achieve a journey that's 17 years in the making for Branson, to create a space tourism business. Branson understands critics who say the resources used to fuel his flight to the edge of the space could have been put to better use to tackle other problems. But he believes there's room for both. In an interview for Today, he spoke to those who say issues like economic inequality, climate change, and the pandemic deserve money from the ultra-wealthy before areas like civilian space travel. Branson said, "I 100% agree that people who are in positions of wealth should spend most of their money, perhaps even 90% or more of their money, trying to tackle these issues. But we should also create new industries that can create 800 engineers and scientists who can create wonderful things that can make space accessible at a fraction of the cost to the environment." I read that Branson has pledged to commit $3 billion, all profits from the travel firms over the coming 10 years, for the reduction of global warming. I read that in 2006, Branson formed a group called the Elders, a small, dedicated group of leaders working objectively and without any vested personal interests to solve some of the problems, difficult problems in our global conflicts. Peter Gabriel, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Jimmy Carter, the list goes on. Just as Branson landed in New Mexico after a safe journey to the edge of space, I received an email asking about a food voucher for a family who was struggling. Two very different worlds. Let us pray. O Holy One, speak to us in the blowing of the wind, in the twinkling of the stars, in the reflection of the waters, in the beating of our hearts, in the stirring of our spirits. Speak to us and help us to listen with open hearts and open minds. Amen. In the first couple of verses that Mike just read to us from Mark 6, we hear how the apostles gathered around Jesus, and they told him that what they had been doing and what they had taught. And Jesus listened to them. And then Jesus said, come away to a deserted place. Come and get rest. For many were coming and going, as the scripture said. They had been busy, and they had no leisure time, no time to rest and relax, no time to fill their hearts again with God's Spirit, not even time sometimes to eat. And so they went away. They get into a boat, and they went to a deserted place by themselves. Jesus was caring for them. Jesus was caring for their very well-being. But I suspect that they were not surprised when the people saw them going and recognized who they were. And so they hurried by foot from towns and villages to meet them at the place on the shore. As Jesus stepped ashore, he saw the large crowd. And he had compassion on them as well. And so he turned to the disciples and he said, they are like sheep. They are like sheep without a shepherd. And then he turned and began to teach them. As the story began to unfold, as the Reverend Dr. Hallett Llewellyn writes, the message of the Good Samaritan comes through. Look out for your neighbor. Look out for those who are hurting. And Llewellyn goes on to add, is that not the message of the workers in the vineyard story? Your neighbor, regardless of how much they work, deserve a fair wage as much as you do. Today we hear the story of the loaves and fishes. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossing, in their book The Last Week, say that the real point of this story is not about the miracle of multiplication, but an act of distribution. This week, scripture tells us that 5,000 people gathered to hear what Jesus had to say. And as the hours slipped by and dusk was nearing, the disciples saw what the people needed and so suggested that they should leave and go to the surrounding villages and buy something for themselves to eat. But Jesus sees it completely differently. He said, tell the crowd to sit down on the grass and then take whatever resources that you have, any resources that you can pull together, and feed them. And Mark tells us that the disciples did exactly what was asked of them. And when they had put the resources together, to their astonishment, there was even some left over. As with all of Jesus' teachings, it's not a simple story. It's a story that teaches us, that speaks to us. And each time you read a story, it speaks to us perhaps in a different way. But we do know that Jesus had compassion on all of the people. It's a great story about combining our resources and then sharing them with all. A number of years ago now, I traveled with my youth to Newfoundland. We had worked for several months to plan and to raise money to make the trip. I remember so clearly that morning when the parents and friends came to bid us well, and a dozen youth or so and three supervisors loaded into the vans and car that was waiting. They waved and we headed off. The first night was to be spent in Sydney, Nova Scotia, so that we could board the ferry for Port-au-Basque early the following day. We would spend the night on the floors of various churches that had extended their hospitality to us. And so the following morning, after we had boarded the boat, one of the youth came to me, perhaps at the encouragement of many. "I was just wondering," he said, "I was just wondering if we could stay in hotels each night. We know it would cost more, but we would pay you back. Don't worry." And I'm sure they would have, but that wasn't the point. That evening, as we gathered together in the sanctuary of Port-au-Basque's United Church, I shared a story with them, as was our custom. That night was the story of a young family in São Paulo, Brazil. It was early morning, before the sun was up, and another group of youth and I were heading to the airport to head home. There on the sidewalk, by themselves, was a family of three, a mother, a father, and their very young child. They were huddled over a tiny tin can that had a fire in it. They were trying to keep warm from the heat of that fire. My youth sat that night in Port-au-Basque and listened quietly as the story unfolded. "If we have any funds left over from our trips," I said, perhaps we could donate them to the nonprofit organization called Sleeping Children Around the World, a global community of volunteers and supporters giving hope and joy to children in providing them bed kits for a good night's sleep. In the days that followed, we slept on many church floors, some a little drier than others, but never once did the youth ask again about staying in motels. Never once did they complain. In the morning, if their sleeping bag happened to be damp, they would just hang it over the pews to dry as we went out. They never complained. And at the end of the trip, they pooled their resources and they donated to Sleeping Children Around the World. We have the resources in this world of ours, in this country of ours, that we need to make a difference. Jesus told the disciples, no matter how challenging, no matter how impossible the task at hand seems, you must not turn your back, you must not send them away. The work you do here at St. Paul's, the work that is done at Wilmot, and in so many other churches around the globe, so many other organizations to help the vulnerable, does not go unnoticed. And so I say thank you. The United Church of Canada, along with many other, continue to work towards addressing both social and environmental concerns. Together, we can make a difference. A scholar once wrote, "Do more than belong. Participate. Do more than care, help. Do more than believe, practice. Do more than be fair, be kind. Do more than forgive, forget. And do more than dream, work." Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Bless him in the days and the months and the years ahead as we continue to work together to combine our resources to combat many of the issues in our world. By the time I had finished this writing, this reflection, I probably might have selected a different hymn, but I love Voices United 563 so